This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
What is TWS podcast episode, whatever? Who cares at this point?
Bar.
The rant of the vindicated.
It's my podcast and I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still alive?
It's not working for me, Red Dye. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
When ready.
I feel like the Neanderthal.
Staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, ready.
No faces, just lines and statistics from your phone, your zip code, the SSI digits. The system break, man, shining women in the figures. Two columns for who is and who ain't niggas.
Niggas!
It's hard and real and they never have feelings, but you push too hard, even numbers got limits. Why did one straw break the camel's back? Here's the secret. The million other straws underneath it. It's all mathematics.
Mighty most stuff.
It's simple mathematics.
Check it out.
I'll revolve around science.
What are we talking about here? Oh, man. Welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I'm your boy, J.Dot Flam, representing the White Pants Society. And I must start the same way I start every week, by thanking you for taking, you know, whatever time out of your day to come chill with me, listen to my stories or whatever else I ramble on about. You could be anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me, and I do greatly, greatly appreciate that. Started out with that one. I've been saying I want to get ahead on these album anniversaries, but, you know, shit happens. I don't know. I was scrolling through, like, the October hip-hop history, whatever, album releases, and I saw, you know, Black on Both Sides was released October 12th, I think, 1999. And so I know that's the week that passed, but I don't know. For me, that's just, it's just too important of an album for me not to do. Like, man, like, When I thought I wanted to be a rapper, well, I mean, I still want to be a rapper, but I'm not pursuing that in any way, shape, or form. But at the time where I was, like, pursuing it, like, that's, he was one of the artists that I wanted to emulate. Like, I wanted to be for someone else what Most Def had been for me. Yasiin Bey, you know, I don't want to say whatever you want to call him because he got a name. I think Yasiin is what he, you know, goes by now, but whatever, you know what I'm trying to say. But yeah, man, Black on Both Sides was a big album for me. Came out around the same time, I think I bought that one while I was at Marquette. It was around the same time that I had that Pharoah Monch album that I talked about last week. But yeah, man, just I don't know, Umi Says, Mathematics, Miss Fat Booty, like, super dope album. I don't know. I saw someone say something like disparaging about Most Def the other day. Like, he's so annoying or something. Like, he's one of the rappers that they just can't listen to because he bothers them for some reason. It's like, I, you know, I guess personal preference, but it ain't too many better out there in terms of, you know, what they can do with the spoken word and just how relevant the shit is. I've been trying to explain to people these days now, like, when you see these things happen and then, like, the world goes crazy or, you know, the Black community, you know, is an uproar. And you're like, all of this because of, you know, ABC or whatever. It's like, nah, it's why the one straw breaks the camel's back. Here's the secret. The million other straws underneath it. It's all mathematics. Dope. Anyway, I don't want to go too far into that, but that's why I picked that one. Shouts to Most Def, Yasiin Bey. Yeah. I don't know. This week was a very tame week for me. Like, very tame. Like, just not much went on. I am officially what they've been designated at my job, a circulating employee. I don't know if this is like a new thing in the new world, the post-COVID world or whatever, but I guess as a circulating employee, I no longer have a desk. I am, I guess, supposed to work from home, you know, whenever possible and only go to the office if I'm needed there for something, for to attend a meeting, or if there's something I cannot do from home, then I go to the office. And when I go, I find one of these hoteling spots. That's a new, like, buzzword, I guess, in corporations now, hoteling, where your desk are just, you know, community desks that whoever's there that day gets to use or whatever. So yeah, I'm not leaving the house very much again. I am, you know, I'm going out to take trips to, you know, to attend meetings and not work meetings, other meetings that I can't talk about. But and then I go to my daughter's soccer practice and stuff like that. So I leave the house some, you know, during the week before. There are a lot of days where it's just me and these walls. And besides a few teams meetings, you know, here and there, it may not be a whole lot of interaction with another human being. It's a weird space to live in. I know a lot of us are doing it, and shout to you if you know, maintaining throughout all of it. But it's been tough for me. But yeah, this week was just like super non-eventful because I don't go nowhere. I don't fucking do nothing. I be looking for shit to do. I'm like, I don't know. I start thinking about how much it's going to cost, and I sit my ass down. But just when I thought, you know, like nothing interesting could happen, the weekend came, and then like noteworthy shit started happening. So that's what I'm going to base this episode on. I don't know. For those of you who like read the title and may have in your mind what you think the episode is about to be about, I don't know. You know what? Fuck you. Like, listen and find out on your own. I'm not doing any disclaimers. I named it what I named it, and I'm going with that. But yeah, I'll get to the interesting parts of my week. We'll skip right to it. And you know, the most eventful thing that ever happens to me in any week is spending time with my daughter. So let's get into the Chef Elise report.
Out of Pepe.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I am. Yeah, man, you know, went to soccer practice. You know, and she loves soccer practice. She's a good practicer. She's a good practice person. Like I think we really need to find a sport that's more individual, that's not so much a team. Like, because in practice, she does well. When it's just her and the ball and like doing the individual drills by herself, where it's not like a whole scrum of girls just chasing after the same ball, like, you know, she does pretty well. You know, she can dribble, she can do what, you know, she needs to do on a soccer field. I think when she gets out there and it's just a bunch of people and everybody going for the same ball and just like trying to stick your foot in there, that's a little intimidating for her. You know, at this age and like the 7-year-old soccer, it ain't no spacing or nothing. They just see ball, run the ball, kick ball. So it's just a bunch of feet and shit just kicking and dust flying up and not a whole lot happening. Like I said, I hate to call the games boring, but they're fucking boring like they are. And so if we find things to pass the time. But yeah, so, you know, practice was practice. I went out to that and that was cool. And then we had the game on Saturday. And man, I don't know what it was about this Saturday, but I was just tired. Like it's alarming because I just finished saying, like, I don't go nowhere, I don't do that much, you know, I work from home. It's not like I have like this strenuous, stressful week, you know, that I have to contend with where fucking Saturday comes and I'm spent and it's like I don't wanna do nothing else. It's just, I don't know. It's something about having something to do. I don't know if I'm the only person that goes through this, but I become the most tired I've ever been in my life the moment I have something to do. If I have nothing to do, I got all the energy in the world and I just want to stay up all night and do this and clean the house and come up with new merch and design new whatever. Like I'm just, you know, full of ideas and crazy. The moment there is something on the horizon that I have to do, it's just like all my energy is gone. I can sleep all day. I never want to wake up because I never want to start preparing to go do the thing I got to do. So that's where I was Saturday, just like game one till 12:30, but I was just crazy tired. I found a way to, you know, pull myself together and get myself out of the house and get there. And it was worth it because, you know, dope things seem to happen at the soccer field. For whatever reason today, I don't have the ringer off on my phone, so I apologize for that. Let me knock that out real quick. Anyway, so I get there, and this week she had like her biggest cheering section by far this season. So it was, you know, it was myself, you know, her mom, her stepdad, and I think her stepdad's brother and his family was there. So his wife, his two kids, and then one of my ex-wife's friends showed up as well. And it was a funny moment because my ex-wife's niece is sitting next to her, and then a friend shows up, you know, and my ex-wife and her friend are talking to each other, and the little girl, like, just just looked in awe. And then she finally like said something, you know, to my ex-wife. And she's like, I didn't know you had friends. She was like, how many friends do you have? Yeah, I think the answer was 3. But you know, I don't know. Kids say the darndest things. But we're sitting there and Sheffy Lee started the game on the bench. And craziest part was we got Tiny Ref again this week. And I made it a point. I said to myself, I am not going to make any jokes about this little kid today. I'm going to let him live. He's doing his best. He's out here reffing for youth soccer leagues. It's a public service. He's doing a great job. I need to leave this kid alone. As entertaining as he is, as fucking hilarious as his existence is, I need to just let it be. I'm not going to rile the sideline up again with Tiny Ref jokes. And I almost lived up to that. I think at some point, like the game starts at 12:30. The games normally go for an hour. So like halftime should be 1 o'clock. And I think we looked up and it was like, I don't know, like 12:50 or something like that. It's like a good, you know, 10 or 15 minutes before 1 o'clock. And the teams were sitting on the bench, you know, drinking Gatorade. You know, it was obvious that it was halftime. And somebody was like, man, is it halftime already? Like, it don't seem like it should be halftime yet. And it's just like, it was a softball. It was just out there. I'm like, you know, at his height, time moves differently. Time moves a little faster. So you got to understand, we're working on Tiny Ref time. Don't worry about it. Everything's going to be okay. That's the only joke I'm making about Tiny Ref this week, though. The only one. I promise. I swear. And that's not even the best thing to happen at the game. So again, anyway, eventually Elise enters the game and she's doing her usual. You know, she trails the play. She's a little bit more active this year, but not much. Just a little bit. And I don't know. Something happened where she like got in front of the ball. But she's in front of the ball and she's facing the wrong direction. So her back is to the goal that her team should be moving towards. And like I said, there's no nuance to these little girls' game. It is, if I see the ball, I kick the ball. If I get to the ball, I kick the ball, and I kick the ball in the direction that I want to go. So Elise is moving towards the ball, but in the wrong direction. And one of her teammates is moving towards the ball, you know, going direction they're supposed to be going. And the teammate gets there first, and she gives it a good heave-ho, and she catches her directly in the face. Like, just bow, just right, just bounced off her face. She went one way, the ball went the other way. It was bad. And it was one of those moments, I think all parents know this, like, when your child gets hurt, like, when they get hurt, like, you react, because you're like, oh, shit, you know, this little person, you know, something bad happened to him. Like, you feel some kind of way, so you react. Then you start getting clued in on the majority of their reaction to the hurt. Like, normally they're not that hurt. But if you act like something's wrong, then they're going to act like something's wrong. I think sometimes they're embarrassed or whatever. Or they can see here's a moment to get, you know, the hugs and the whatever, the sympathy stuff. So they, when something happens, they typically look at you. And if you are okay, like, they'll shrug it off sometime, depending on the injury, they shrug it off and keep going. So she got kicked in the face. And of course, I'm a work in progress, people. God ain't finished with me yet. Of course, the first thing I had to do was try not to laugh. If somebody gets hit in the face with a soccer ball right in front of you, it's fucking funny. It is. It just is. And so I stifled the laugh, and then I could see on her face that it wasn't funny. Like, she was really hurt. So then it was like, oh, shit, you know. And then I'm giving her the thumbs up from the sideline. I'm trying to convince her to go ahead and keep going. But obviously, that wasn't going to happen. And so she makes her way over to the sideline, and she's just in tears, and she got a big cheering section, so she's getting a lot of "it's okay" and, you know, and hugs and everything like that. And we're getting her together, and she's still like sniffling and stuff, but she pulls it together and she goes back, you know, to the sideline to get back into the game. And she goes back to the sideline. She's on the bench for a while, and eventually she gets back into the game. And then when she got back into the game, it was a new Elise. Like, it was just she was a different player. She was running faster. She was more aggressive. She was in it. It was like, oh my God, like, was this the turning point in her athletic career? Like, is this what needed to happen? Did she need to get kicked in the face? Like, what did, like, is it brain damage? Like, what happened when this ball hit her in the face that now, like, she gives a fuck? And, like, she's playing like she gives a fuck. And she was actually, like, decent. Like, just at least one of the other girls. She wasn't, like, trailing the play. Like, she was playing. I'd never seen her run that fast in my life for anything. Like, my daughter has a very princessy, prancy kind of run. You know, I laugh at her because her hands would be up with her, like, with her wrist bent, looking like a Tyrannosaurus Rex while she's running. Like, it's just stupid. It's the dumbest thing you've ever seen. But it was none of that. Like, she was focused and she was going and she was getting in there. And it was just like, it was just dawning on me, like, if this is the moment, like, if this is the moment where everything changes for her in terms of this sport, like, what happens, like, 10, 15 years from now when she's playing for the U.S. Olympic team or something, and, you know, they're interviewing us about, you know, her soccer journey, and I'm like, well, you know, things were on the rocks for a moment there, and then one day she got kicked in the face with a ball, and everything turned around. Like, if that's the turning point in her life, when she got hit in the face with a soccer ball, I don't know. And then all I kept hearing in my head for the rest of the game after she got kicked in the face, and we spent the whole time, like, talking about a ball hitting her in the face, like, waking her up and turning her into a better player. I just heard, like, Donnell Rollins' voice the whole time. Just
take it in the face!
Like, that's all I could hear.
Take it in the face!
It's like, I know that's a bad joke for talking about my little girl, but it's funny. It's what was happening to me. It's what was going on in my head. But yeah, it seems like a kick to the face was all she needed. And after the game, the parents have to get, like, snacks and stuff. So it was whoever's mom and dad's turn it was to make the snacks this week. They put in, like, free tickets for a snow cone at the little snow cone stand. So me and Elise went, and we got a snow cone, and we were chatting. And she ain't really talk much about the whole incident. And then on the way back, I saw her coach, and I was just talking to her coach. And before I could say anything, he was like, man, you know what she said when she got back to the bench after the whole incident? She said, you know what I'm gonna do to that ball? And she was like balling up her fists and doing the whole, like, you know what I'm gonna do to that ball? I was like, is that what it took to wake up the competitive spirit in my baby's little heart? Like, just getting hit in the face. So now I'm thinking, like, is that what we got to do every week? Do we need to just line her up and just, bam, one good shot, wake her up and put her in the game? Like, do I have to? Maybe I should draw a face on the ball and we make it a whole thing. We you know, we give the ball a personality and you got to go beat up the ball to hit you in the face. Like, all these balls run together in the gang. And if he hits you in the face, he just waiting to hit you in the face. So you just got to get them all. Like, I don't know. These are dad thoughts. They weird. They sound stupid now that I'm saying them out loud, but I come here to confess my sins. That's what I do with y'all. But that was my Saturday. That was up until that point the most interesting thing that happened to me that week. But so I left the game Saturday. I was wearing a shirt that I got as a gift that said, I do what I want, when I want, if I want. And it got a lot of comments and people was like, yeah, you do as you want, you know. Whatever. Of course I don't. A nigga can dream, though. I can dream. One day, I'm going to do what I want, when I want, if I want. I think that's the most important part of the three statements, is the if I want. Sometimes I want to do shit, or there's stuff I want to do, but I don't really want to do it right now, so I don't do it because I don't want to do it. But not because I don't want to do it. I just don't want to do it right now, if that makes any sense. Anyway, So I went home and I did nothing because that's what I wanted to do. And then Saturday and Sunday came, and you know, I had an opportunity to hang out with somebody that had has been a good friend to me, and but I never met, you know, in person. So Jay, for the formerly of the Just Say Words pod and the Saturday Series podcast, he's the founder, owner, the creative director of the Pod Dealers Network. You know, the drop you hear at the beginning of my shows. He was going to be in Austin for a conference, I guess for ACL, and he hit me up and was just like, you know, wanted to see what I was doing. So, like, yeah, man, definitely we can link up while you're in the city. So that's what I did Sunday, and it was a thing, man, because it's like, man, you know, he's here from out of town. You know, we never met in person, but like I said, he's been, you know, very influential in helping me put this show together. And just being a good friend for stuff outside of podcast and just, you know, checking on me, making sure I was all right during some real tough times. And so, you know, he's in town. I got to go see him. But he's downtown in his ACL. And I had to, you know, me in the drive. And the last thing I wanted to do was have to, one, get on the highway. And then, two, navigate downtown with all the one-way streets and craziness and in the traffic from ACL. But, like, you know, my man's in town, got to do it. So I did it. And I'm very proud of myself for doing that. But I got down there and I got hit in the face. Like, I got hit in the face. I love Austin, man. I love Austin. I've been here for almost 10 years. It'll be 10 years in January. I arrived here January 1st, 2013. I flew New Year's Day. And from the moment I arrived in Austin, like, they made me feel at home. I remember I got here late that night when I flew in, and I was hungry. And I got off the plane, and I was like, man, it's an airport, so there got to be, you know, stuff to eat in the airport. And I'm like looking, you know, on my way to baggage claim to see, you know, what's open. And I see like a taco stand, and I go up to it, you know, to try to get some tacos, and you know, she's like, oh, you know, we closing. I'm like, oh man, damn, I really wanted the taco. And then she was just like, you know what, I guess she had a choice between like putting it away or throwing it away, whatever, but she gave me free tacos. Like, that would have never happened back home. They'd have thrown the shit away in my face before they gave me a free taco. She was like, all right, let me just, and she made me like two tacos. I was like, man, is this what Austin is all about? I could do this. All right, Austin. All right, so I've been here for like damn near 10 years, like I said. And Austin has this slogan. You may have heard it, you may have not, but it's keep Austin weird. It's like the city slogan, city mantra. And Austin lives that shit. Like, Austin is a weird place. It's weird as fuck, you know. But after you've been here like 10 years, that shit becomes like background noise to you. Like, you don't even notice it anymore. Like, you know, stuff isn't weird if you see it every day. Then it's normal, you know, from down here with the crazy drivers, the fucked up, confusing ass weather. Man, it is, what is it, October 16th? Today is October 16th. It's the middle of October. And it was 90-something fucking degrees outside. I had to wear shorts when I went downtown to hang out with my homie. I have been driving with a jacket in my passenger seat for the last week. Cause I want to wear a jacket. I own too many jackets. I like jackets. I like jacket weather. They're like security blankets for me. And I want it to be cold enough for me to wear a fucking, not a coat, a jacket, like a windbreaker. And it's 90 degrees. But you get used to it, man. Like seeing the cows and armadillos and shit in weird places, and the bugs and the bats, the hippies, the hipster culture. Like, it's just, it's a weird place, but you lose track of the weirdness at some point until, you know, something like today happens. So, you know, I drive downtown, and his hotel was around like the 6th Street. They call it Dirty Six. If you've ever been to Austin, like, it's the Dirty Six. And it goes down on the Dirty Six. Like, it's dirty, and it's shit. it's just a place. And I had forgotten how weird Austin was until, like, you know, it was like stepping outside in the wintertime and you know it's cold, but when you open that door and that cold wind hits your face, it's just like you knew it was going to be cold, But it's like, damn, like I wasn't ready for it to be that cold. It's like, I know Austin is weird. I was like, holy shit, Austin is fucking weird. I said, it started before I even got to him. I'm walking to his hotel, and you know, 6th Street, it's a lot of homeless out there. It's a street line with just like bars and restaurants. They close it off, and like at night, you know, you can't drive through it, so it's just foot traffic, people walking in the middle of the street, you know. It's just craziness. It's just debaucheries at its worst. But this was like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so none of that was supposed to have kicked off yet. And I'm walking there, and I see someone walking in my direction, and the person just got like, you know, they got a shirt. The shirt is open, and I couldn't tell if it was shorts or a skirt. And I'm like, is this a dude? Is this a woman? Because if it's a woman, her titties is out. Like the shirt is just open. It's just open. It's just, and it's no bra. It's no nothing. It's just a button up that's not buttoned up. And then as it got closer, you know, because he had a shaved head, so I'm like, I still, like, the androgynous thing was still on me, and the titties wasn't that big, so I couldn't really tell. But now it was a full-fledged woman, just titties out, just walking down the street. And it just didn't seem to be a thing to anybody else. Like, nobody else seemed to give a fuck about this. And if I was in my East Coast mindset, I wouldn't have gave a fuck either. Like, on the East Coast, you see weird shit, and you know, if it's not directly affecting you, fuck it. Like, that's just how you have to be. I guess that's worn off, and I'm just like, what the fuck is going on, and why does nobody care? But that happened, and I got past that, and I go meet my homie at his hotel, and we walk to a spot I know that has really good burgers, and I feel like it's very Austin-y. And I've been there several times. I've been to this place several times. It's a place around the corner from where I used to work. And when I first started working there, somebody took me there to get a burger. And then every time we would get a new guy, I would take them. And I tried to like pass that on as a tradition that when somebody new comes, you take them out for a burger for lunch. And this is where we take it. Like, it's just, you know, just a cool thing to do. Team building. So I've been there a bunch of times, and I still wasn't prepared for like the weirdness. So like we walk in, and it's an Austin-y place. It's like heavy metal playing. Well, I don't know. I don't even know what genre music. It's a genre music I don't listen to that often. So I'm gonna call it heavy metal, but I could be wrong. And it's a very eclectic group. Eclectic is the nice term for the group of people that was in there. There's weirdness going on in there. But we order our food, and we sit down and we're waiting for the food to come out. And they got, you know, a TV on the wall. And so as we're talking, every so often, you know, you glance up and you see what's on the TV. And I didn't catch it at first. But after like the third or fourth glance at this TV, once again, like it was just like titties out of nowhere. Where did this come from? And I'm watching it, and it's like, okay, now I'm trying to figure, is this a porno? Like, what is going on? And then it was like zombies, and then blood, and then like more titties. And then it's, you know, it's heavy metal music playing, so there's no sound to whatever the fuck this is. And that just makes it even more weird and random, because it just seems like a bunch of random images just flashing. It's got to be some sort of story, but you can't hear anything. So you don't have no context in which to figure out what is going on the screen. And then you look down and you look back up, and it's like a completely different scene, but it's still like blood and zombies and titties. And again, like me and Jay like noticed this, and it was a topic of conversation for us, but don't seem like anybody else in the whole place was fazed at all. It's just par for the course in Austin. And I guess I just been in the house for so long that I forgot it. I didn't know I was taking them to that. Like, it wasn't my plan. Like, I'm going to take my homie to this restaurant where they show zombie porn movies while you eat burgers. Like, that was not my idea when I came out there, when I came downtown to come see him. I was like, we're going to get a nice burger at like a dive bar that feels like Austin. But I forgot where the fuck I was. But then after that, we left. And we decided to do, like, it was his idea. We decided to do some black dude type shit, which I haven't done in a long time. So it's always good for me to just, like, reconnect with my blackness. And so we sat on the stoop outside of another weird thing. Like, I pulled up to what he said was the hotel, and I'm like, I didn't know this was a hotel. And he's like, I'm not exactly sure it is either. I guess it's like an apartment complex that got hotels. They got hotel rooms in. Just weird, unnecessary shit that I just only see in Austin. But we're sitting outside on the stoop, and we just chopping it up, having black guy conversation. And of all of the weird shit that was going on downtown that nobody was fazed by, two black dudes sitting on a stoop, you could definitely see was drawing attention. Like, you know, nobody was stopping or saying anything, but it was definitely like people were taking notice. It's like, people sit on the stoop and it's two black dudes. They don't look homeless. So what is two black dudes on the stoop doing down here in downtown Austin? Like, it was a weird thing. And then eventually a black dude walked by and he finally said it. He was like, oh man, you don't see black dudes sitting out here that often. And then he stopped. And so he was black, and I don't want to judge or say he was homeless, but you know, I said, if you asked me to draw a homeless person, it would probably look like him. But he stopped, and he told us he was a comedian. And so he said he only had three jokes, so he knocked them out. I'm only going to give you one. That's the only one I remember. The third one, I remember, but it wasn't funny. And the second one, I can't remember. But I remember one. The joke basically was, what did the one-legged man say when he went in the bank? I gave you a moment. I'm going to do it just like he did it. Final answer, final answer. That's it. I'm only here to check my balance. All right. I'm adding that to my dad joke repertoire, though. I'm taking that. I'm stealing that from you, homie. I'm sorry. He did ask for donations afterward, but it's a digital world. I don't carry cash. And unfortunately, nothing I could do for him. But he said, as long as I passed on the positivity to the rest of the world, that was payment enough. And that was very dope of you, dude whose name I didn't get. Thank you for sharing your humor with me. I have now shared it with others, paying it forward. So I think our transaction is complete. But bless you, brother. Bless all of y'all. And that's really all I got for this week. I don't think there's any point to it. I thought I might have time to do some questions, but I rambled on longer than I probably should on some of these stories. I don't know. Let me just do the end shit. I'm sorry about this week. Like, it was nothing fucking happened this week. It's just been a boring ass week. So I did the best that I could. Me, Tiny Ref, the comedian, and the topless zombies or whatever, we all just did the best that we could this week, people. So rock with us. But as usual, hit up the store. It is hoodie season, even though it's 90 fucking degrees in October in Austin. Other places are not that temperature. So if you want to get your hoodies, please check out the merch store, whatistws.com/store. You can use coupon code hoodie season, HOODIESZN, to get 20% off your entire order. It's just for the cold weather stuff. So we're talking long sleeve shirts, hoodies, hats. I got throw blankets, all kinds of stuff. I think they dope. Go check them out. Get you a hoodie. Get outfitted. I'll appreciate it a lot. And so will Chef Elise. We can maybe afford like a face guard or something for her, so she could take it in the face without she could take it in the face without any serious injury.
Take it in the face.
Anyway, but with that being said, be safe, be easy, be the light, and know this: if you know nothing else, I don't necessarily suggest that you take it in the face, but if you do, you know, let that be a wake up call to go hit life a little bit harder. It ain't make no sense at all. But if you know this. If you know nothing else, I love you. Holla.
Last call for alcohol. Yeah. If this is it, like if this is the last joint, if this is the last hurrah, it's the last call for alcohol, baby. I gotta say, whether you knew it or not, it's pretty much at the finest bar establishment, the finest spirits and libations y'all could have had, baby. You might realize it now, you might have realized it back then. You might realize it later.
Love.